You're on BBC Radio Wales. Now, my next guest is Tasmin Little, and I'm delighted to say that she joins me on the phone. And in 2008, Tasmin was the subject of a television documentary by the prestigious South Bank Show, which followed her groundbreaking project, The Naked Violin. It was a very ambitious project which boldly embraced the internet and offered up free downloadable recitals of works for solo violin. Tasmin, thank you for joining me this morning.
Hello, it's a real pleasure to be here.
Thank you. I have to say, I'm a bit of a fan of the South Bank Show because it makes me feel all intellectual. What was it like being on the South Bank Show?
Oh, it was amazing. It was a real dream come true. First of all, it was wonderful to work with my team, and I thought that the way that they handled the various aspects of what I was doing was so sensitive. For instance, some of the places that I went to play in Belmarsh Prison, at a hostel for homeless people in Brighton, they were very, very careful to make sure that everything was shown in the right way and that what was going on was really reflective. And so when I went to play, for instance, in the hostel, people were crying because the power of the music had moved them. People got up and started dancing. And it was great the way that that was actually shown and the way that they portrayed it, in addition, of course, to all my regular concerts.
Now, your project, The Naked Violin, has been described as revolutionary, inspiring. It also included an ongoing series of workshops and concerts. And within days, you'd had sort of 6,000 international websites linked to your site because of it was just such a different way of promoting classical music, because it was a free download, wasn't it?
That's right, yes. My idea was basically to try to remove any remaining barriers that still exist. I've always held the belief that anybody can enjoy classical music, but I think that sometimes people feel that they should have studied it in order to be able to appreciate it. And I was there to say, no, that's not true. You don't have to. And, you know, perhaps some people are worried about going into concert halls because they might feel they're going to clap in the wrong place or they don't know what to wear or... And things. So the internet, of course, is something that so many people feel incredibly comfortable with. Plus, it's in your own home. You can do it at your leisure. You can, you know, download stuff whenever you want. And so I felt that it was the kind of format that people would feel very comfortable with. And certainly from the nearly half a million people that have visited my site, I think that was spot on. I think people really did take to it. And so the next stage of the project has been to release my new CD called Partners in Time. So instead of The Naked Violin, a violin standing on its own, I've now been joined by some good company in the pianist John Lenihan. And we've done a sort of a chronological look, a snapshot of 200 years of music all squeezed onto one CD. But I also wanted to continue with the idea of offering music on the internet. So alongside the CD, which is a commercial CD which people buy, but alongside that there's still a lot that's available on a dedicated website, so people can actually listen to a lot of the music for free. I've done spoken introductions, so people can get to know the music a little bit before deciding whether they want to buy it. And then if they do buy the CD, there's an extra special track that's free for download that people can have as a sort of thank you present.
Well, we're going to be playing a little bit of music from your CD later, but you've recorded 23 albums. You know, what's it like working in the studio compared to playing in some of the great concert halls around the world? Because you played at Carnegie Hall, you've played in Berlin, Philadelphia.
That's right, yes. It's different. I think I wouldn't make very good recordings if that was all I did, because the whole point about making a record is you want to try to recreate what happens in a concert hall, so that it's not just a dry and dull performance. You want to have that feeling of spontaneity, and that's the most important thing to me. When I make a recording, I'm trying to make something that is going to be really inspiring, really leap out of the speakers at people. So I'm quite confident that I managed to do it with this new recording, Partners in Time, because actually John and I have worked together for a long time, and we were doing things in the recording studio that actually we'd never done before. So there's a lot of spontaneity and a feeling of live performance.
And but you also play from a very wide range in repertoire. How do you choose what music you play?
Well, sometimes it gets chosen for me in the sense that when I go and I work with orchestras, they say, oh, will you come and do the Tchaikovsky? For instance, I've worked a lot in Wales. I love the Welsh audiences. They are so responsive. They're so musical. And for instance, I was in the St. David's Hall last year playing Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto. Well, you can't hope for a better audience than the Cardiff audience. And so when I get asked to play something like the Tchaikovsky, I will think, yes, that's great. I've got time to prepare it before the concert. concert. And then there are times when I can just put together a whole feast of music, such as on this CD, where there's a great range of music. And I really enjoy that as well, because I think it's important to show people that classical music goes through a huge change over 200 years. And so what people were writing in the 17th, 18th century is so different to what they were writing in the 20th and 21st century. Mm. And so that's why I really like this new recording, because for people who are new to classical music, I'm almost sure that there will be lots of things on this disc that people will like. Whereas if you go into a record shop and you see CDs, quite often they're bracketed just in one style or even just one composer. So you might spend your £10 and then you might think, oh, well, I didn't really like that composer very much, in which case you're a bit stuck. But with this CD, there's really something for everybody. And it's also a perfect recital programme. So I've actually programmed this in concert in many, many different places, so that if people listen to the concert and they think, oh, I really like that, they can go and they can buy the CD. Or if they buy the CD and they think, oh, I really like that, they can come and hear me in concert. So it works both ways.
That's very smart. And do you know what? That is a perfect opportunity, because we're going to play one of the tracks from the CD. Tasmin, stay with us, because we're just going to play Mélodie from Souvenir d'une Lugère. That's Tasmin Little there on the violin, with John Lenehan on the piano, taken from Tasmin's new CD, Partners in Time. Now, Tasmin, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
It makes me want to go out and learn to play the violin, actually.
Oh, well, I love the violin because I think it's the instrument that's closest to the human voice. It's so expressive. And I mean, I love the piano as well, but there's something about the variety of sounds, because obviously you're creating the sound. You've got a bow, you can change the sound, you can change the way you vibrate, all of those sorts of things. So I think it's a very personal instrument, an instrument that can really speak directly to people's hearts.
But I mean, it is a beautiful instrument when you play it so well, but you do have to go through those years, because my daughter's 7 and she's having violin lessons.
Oh, it can be excruciating, can't it? I know.
I'm very glad you said that, because I love my daughter very much, and obviously she's a genius.
Of course.
But we have some way to go. Yet.
Yes. I mean, that's the thing really about, many classical instruments, but I think string instruments and possibly the violin have it the worst. even the cello isn't quite as bad as the violin in the initial period. And there's something about that screeching and scratching noise which really does make you want to run a very long way. Mm. But yes, I mean, if you stick with it, and I quite often people say to me, oh, my child loves the instrument but doesn't want to practice. Why? Mm. And what can I do? And, my first question is always, well, are they playing something that they really like? Because I don't think anybody wants to play a piece that doesn't interest them. Mm. So I think one of the key things about getting children to practice and keep their interest is actually to give them a piece that they're going to enjoy playing, something that really switches them on. And certainly the things that kept me going were the hope that I would play nicer and better and more exciting pieces, and so it sees you through those rather difficult years.
No, I mean, I played the piano for a long time, and all I ever learnt was grade pieces.
Yeah.
And I kind of went through and through and through, but then actually couldn't learn to play anything, and sort of many years after I stopped I've started again. But actually I think you're right, it's playing those bits that are fun and interesting. I have to say I'm trying to learn pop music, but that's kind of got my love of playing back again.
Absolutely. There's got to be some nice chocolates and sweets in with all the dry scales and arpeggios and
arpeggios.
Things like that.
Yeah. I mean, where did your love of music come from? Was it sort of through the family? Were you very young when you started playing?
Well, it was a bit of a it was not something that anybody had ever planned, although my father is an actor, and so he used to do a lot of musicals. He was in many, many different musicals in the West End and touring and things. So, music was on in the house, and my parents always loved classical music, but it wasn't something. I don't come from a long line of musicians or anything like that, but I had chicken pox and I was cooped up on my own and at home, with my mum and away from my friends. I was so bored. And I said to my mum, would you buy me a recorder and a book? And she did. And I actually taught myself to read the treble clef and to play the recorder in half an hour. Wow. And I found it very easy and I really loved it. And it was exciting. I was never one for watching much television. I liked to do things. And that was suddenly I was no longer bored and I wanted to do more. And then I wanted to learn the piano and then I wanted to play the violin. And really, the moment I picked up the violin, I knew that that was my instrument. I think children are very instinctive about what they love, what instruments they love and what sounds they love as well. Some children love banging on a drum, and some people like the sound of a saxophone or a clarinet or the flute, that beautiful breathless quality of a flute. And I just really enjoyed the quality of a string instrument, and I liked again that personal touch, that personal feeling of sounding like a voice and being so expressive.
Do you think that we all have a bit of natural musical ability inside us?
I have no doubt that everybody can appreciate music, and I also have no doubt that everybody is creative in their own way. I don't think that you can take any child and turn them into a violinist or a cellist or a trombonist. I think that some children are destined to enjoy music, to a certain level, but I don't think you can turn everybody into a professional musician. On the other hand, I just know that everybody can appreciate music and can get a certain way on a musical instrument if it's, if they find the instrument that they like. So I think that every child should be given an opportunity, and certainly every child should be given an opportunity to experience music in a concert hall. Because in fact, listening to a CD is wonderful, and it's amazing that we have the variety and the range of CDs now, but there is absolutely nothing like seeing a professional orchestra or professional musicians on stage live, doing it there and then. And actually, I think that's the same really with anything. If you see it being done in front of you, it's the same with theatre. If you go and you see live theatre or you go and see live sport, there is something that's so much more exciting about witnessing it right there in front of you. And that's one of the things that I love about live performance. You know, you walk on stage and you can feel the expectancy of the audience. And that's one thing that is so special. And I think that's one thing why people get the bug, as it were, walking on stage. And it's that does it. It's that feeling in a concert hall that you just can't get anywhere else.
How nervous do you feel? Because I used to be an athlete, and that moment just before I went onto the track, and for me, I remember Sydney in 2000, it was 110,000 people.
Yes.
And you walk out and you go...
Unbelievable.
If well, you wouldn't want to be there, but you don't.
Well, and you would understand that so well. Certainly, you've got to have that sense of excitement because it's the adrenaline pumping that will enable you to give your best performance, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And the thing, you're not sure whether you're going to be ill or not with the nerves, but then afterwards, it's amazing.
Exactly, that's right. And I think the bigger the gig, and obviously, you know, for you, that was a huge one. I think the more that sense of anticipation and excitement, but then you would also know how that adrenaline then turns into something very positive. Because if you get destroyed by nerves or adrenaline, then you're in the wrong job. But if you can use that fantastic feeling inside to really concentrate your brain, concentrate your muscles, and then give your very, very best, that's the right thing. That's the brilliant feeling that they talk about, the white moment for the athletes, don't they?
Yes, absolutely.
It's not exactly the same for musicians, but definitely if I don't have that sense of anticipation before I walk on stage, I'm worried because I think I won't give my best.
Yeah. Now, when I was competing, I had lots and lots of bits of sports equipment, mostly thrown in the back of our garage, which I hope you don't do with your violins. How many do you have? I mean, is it something you have a collection?
Well, I'm very lucky. There was a time when I only had one violin, and now I'm very, very lucky indeed. I have my own very special violin, which is it was made in 1757 in Italy by Guadagnini. Then I also have on loan from the Royal Academy of Music the Regent Stradivarius, which is a very special instrument. Then I have recently acquired the very first violin I ever owned back again, which is wonderful.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, it is. It's lovely. And I never thought I'd see it again. So it was like being reunited with an old friend, and it was very special. And then I have another instrument, which is a modern instrument, which was made about 6 or 7 years ago. And that's a lovely instrument. It's not valuable, but it sounds very nice. And if I'm doing lots of concerts outdoors, you don't take a very old instrument outdoors into the heat and the sun and things like that. So it's a good instrument for that. So I now do have quite a fleet of violins. But, it's nice to use them all and to play them all, because, in fact, they do need to be played. They shouldn't just be shoved in a box somewhere and never taken out. Violins need love.
Oh. So your first violin, do you still play that occasionally?
Yes, I do. Oh. Absolutely. Yes, it's really, really nice to have it. And, it was a special instrument to me, obviously, because it was my first instrument, but also because I did some of my most important concerts in it. I did my very first ever prom in 1990. That was played on my Henry Lockie Hill. I made my first recording of the Bruch and the Dvorak concertos on my Henry Lockie Hill. So I also won a competition, the gold medal at the Guildhall on that instrument. So it's an instrument that's got lots of fantastic memories attached to it as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. Do you like other types of music? Do you kind of listen to pop music, or do you play pop music as well?
I don't play pop music, but I certainly listen to pop music. In fact, just before we were on air together, I was listening to the Queen track, and I've got a couple of albums of Queen. They were one of my favourite group, and in fact, I remember as a child, Bohemian Rhapsody staying in the charts for weeks and weeks and weeks, and you know, I would always be there, listening to it, and I really loved that. I loved Pink Floyd, Level 42, Michael Jackson, George Michael, all of those people. Yeah, I really like listening to a variety of music, and I'm not stuffy and thinking that classical music is the only music. I also really love flamenco guitar music, and who can't get turned on by tango music? Isn't that just the sexiest stuff ever? I love it.
Oh, that's superb.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have got preconceptions about classical music, musicians, that they're quite dry and quite academic and think that their music's the best. And actually, by and large, that's not really true. Classical musicians are great bon vivants. We really enjoy, we love food, we love dancing, we love all sorts of all sorts of creative arts. And I think, you know, most classical musicians would enjoy a variety of music and also be able to appreciate what goes into a variety of music.
Mm-hmm. I've got one final question, which is nothing to do with music at all. It's about the picture on the front of your CD. You look lovely.
Oh, thank you.
Do you choose how you look on the front? Because you see, when I was competing, I mostly look red and sweaty and covered in snot. So,
yeah.
So anything where I look sort of vaguely better is great. But do you kind of have a big input into how you look as well as obviously how you sound?
Well, I've got a wonderful photographer who did my photographs for the Naked Violin, and she also did my photographs for Partners in Time. And she's a stylist as well. Actually, I've known her for years. She was an actress in the Rocky Horror Show. My dad was the narrator in the Rocky Horror Show. So I've known Mel for a long, long time. Then she gave up acting, but she started styling and photography. And because she was an actress, I think she's got a fantastically wonderful sense of glamour. Don't you think the photos are really glamorous? I love my photos because
it's very kind of 1940. If I can sort of describe it, you've got your head sort of slightly tilted and sort of quite bold makeup with your hair flowing behind. It's very 1940s kind of Hollywood
it is. And that's Mel. You know, I don't say to her, make me 1940s Hollywood, but she just thinks that I've got a face that really suits that look. And so she's done very glamorous photographs for me, and I really love the variety of what she can do as well. And she styles my hair, so you know, sometimes she gets the GHD out and straightens it, and other times she wants to put curls in it. And she got the wind machine out for that photo. I don't know if you can see my hair flowing away.
It's flowing
in the wind, but anyway, she got the wind machine, so we had quite a laugh with that one.
I need to meet Mel. That's what I need to do.
Oh, well, I'll tell you something. She has a fantastic website. So go and have a look at other things. She also does beautiful children's... she turns children into fairies, and she does beautiful, beautiful photographs. So go and have a look. Mel Winning, her name is. She's terrific.
Oh, fantastic. Well, a good bit of advice is always be nice to photographers. We've been talking about advice that your mother gave you.
Oh, yes.
Always be nice to photographers.
Oh, definitely.
Because they can make you look good or they can make you look not so good.
Absolutely, they definitely can. And it's all in the lighting as well, because as we all know, if you have harsh overhead lighting, that does nothing for anybody. But, you know, that's an art in itself. Yeah, amazing. Well, again, another creative industry, hey?
Well, speaking of someone who's on the webcam this morning, I am sitting up straight. I have my hair brushed and I'm hopefully far enough away so they can't see that I have no makeup on. There we go. Tasmin, thank you so much for talking to me this morning. It's absolutely fantastic. The best of luck with Partners in Crime.
You said Partners in Crime. Which
Partners
is even better.
Time.
Do you know what? Partners actually, I'm so glad you said that, because you have actually just proved my point, because I love the idea. No, I chose the title because of the chronological aspect, because of the aspect of the violin and piano working together, but also I love the idea of the violins and the pianists being partners in crime.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, don't say sorry. It is absolutely perfect, and it just goes to prove my point.
shall I have another go at this?
Yes.
Thank you very much to Tasmin Little for her talking to me this morning and her lovely CD, Partners in Time. Is that better?
That's absolutely wonderful. All the best. Have a very happy day. It's Mother's Day today as well, so all the mothers who are listening, have a great day. Hope you're getting kisses and cuddles from your children.
Oh, lovely, Tasmin. Thank you very much for that this morning. And we're going to...